You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
It's curtains up on another episode of West of Broadway. I'm Will Armstrong.
And I'm Wendy Rosoff.
And we are back together again. How are you doing? Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday to you.
How's your weekend going? You're getting lots of rest?
No, I'm getting no rest, Will.
It is hard to pin you down these days. What's going on?
I'm a busy lady.
You are.
Yeah. So right now, I have a ton of things going on, but what I'm concentrating on right now is a production that is opening up at the Rockwell on March 5th. It is called Glass Ceilings, and I'm super excited about it. It's an original musical.
That is so cool. Is that why you had me meet you here at this rehearsal center?
I did.
Pretty amazing. So we are here with Jessica Gardner and Laura Watkins, who are creating Glass Ceilings.
Yes. So Jessica is our director and Laura is our composer and musical director, and they are both producing it as well. So they're sitting here with us right now. Welcome, ladies.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
We're so happy we could do this and kind of talk to you guys about what Glass Ceilings is all about and the process and where you guys are headed and all that good stuff.
I don't mean to exhaust you. I hope you're not exhausted.
I'm exhausted.
Well, Wendy, you wear a million hats. I mean,
that's
as a teacher,
it's,
working
it has
actress,
nothing to do with this. Yeah.
And I mean, whether it's taking care of Bruno, your little
Bruno, my little geriatric dog, who I love so much.
And all these amazing projects that you're working on, and this is such a special one. And I got particularly excited when I also found out that our dear friend Aaron Stoddard is a cast member.
I know. So I think this is Stoddard and Eyes. Is that even? That's not right. Stoddard and Eyes.
I think it's memes.
Memes. What are you even saying? Is that English?
No.
Anyway, I think it's our maybe fourth or fifth show together. Awesome. But we haven't worked together in a very long time, so I'm psyched about that. But I wanted to talk a little bit about how I got involved with Glass Ceilings, and then you guys can tell me about the process for you. Cool.
Sure.
So there was a breakdown that came down on Actors Access for a SAG-AFTRA workshop that they were doing in this musical, which is very unusual.
Rare.
I think it was the first.
It was the very first.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. Musical workshop that they had done. And so immediately my interest was sparked. And I did not submit properly, which is so unlike me. Something wonky went on, and I found you on Facebook, didn't
you?
I
did.
Because I was like, I dig this project. I'm just into it. Like, I just had a weird, sparkly feeling about it. And so I reached out to Jessica, and she was like, we gotcha. No worries. Like, we dig you. You'll be hearing something from us. We're not sure what, but you'll be hearing something from us. Oh, thank God. And so we wound up doing this really quick and dirty workshop that went up in the James Cagney boardroom.
Oh.
And it had it was kind of like a closed audience, and there was a small Q&A afterwards, and it was kind of incredible that it came together in that short amount of time.
Three rehearsals,
yeah. It felt a little bit like the MTG 25-hour craziness, but even more so. And then ever since then, I've kind of been involved in a very peripheral way. The song, one of the songs that I sing in the show, has performed several times outside of the structure of the show at the Wallace or a little New Music or where else? The Rockwell. We've done
Musical,
a few things, right?
The yes. Foundation for New American Musicals.
Yes, yes,
Musical,
yes.
Which
so
is,
it's been a real treat and so much fun. And so I was thrilled when I found out that you guys were actually putting the next iteration of it up. So go ahead, ladies, and tell us where we are now with it.
It's crazy when I think about the workshop, because that really just came. I knew that they had done staged readings, mm-hmm. and I knew that there's a Singers Conservatory part of SAG-AFTRA, and it was such perfect timing. It was like this magical thing that's been happening since the show has started to be created, which is we seem to be gaining momentum and finding things at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I happened to reach out to someone who was helping run these stage reading, Sean Sharma, and say that I had this musical and I was looking for a place to do a reading. And he was just like, the Singers Conservatory has been saying they want to do something and have something for the singers. And so the response was outrageous. Mm. We got the greatest people in town.
That is so exciting to hear. And when you say timing, within the name of the show is Glass Ceilings. Can you talk a little bit about what the show is about and why the timing for it is so important?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, then I have to go back and talk about how Nicholas Brandt and Laura Watkins created this show in the first place. We were all together as a team from Comic-Con the Musical, which was their first project that they were creating together. Not to speak for you, Laura, but
No, that's what it was. We were, in fact, in the middle of our Comic-Con the Musical workshop during the 2016 election. And the 2016 election had a lot of articles about women happening all the time. So it was in my consciousness. And I was just reading articles on Facebook. And just the idea was kind of just casually going through my mind, you know, this story would make an interesting song or that story might make an interesting song. But it was, I was really focusing on Comic-Con, and then the election happened and I kind of needed a catharsis.
Mm-hmm.
So I really started in earnest kind of working on a song cycle of just different women in history whose stories piqued my interest. And so I went to Nicholas and I was saying, how can we turn, you know, this kind of ragtag bunch of songs into a musical? And so that's when we kind of sat down and came up with the whole idea of the feminist afterlife of Hergatory.
Hergatory, get it, listeners? Hergatory.
I love a pun,
yeah.
and I think that that's brilliant. So good. So.
From a director-producer standpoint, Comic-Con the Musical also was having some momentum. We got into the ASCAP, Stephen Schwartz Musical Theater DreamWorks Workshop.
Congrats.
And into Apples and Oranges, and had been through that whole cycle, and multiple things were happening, and I was waiting for some rewrites on songs from Comic-Con, and Laura brings us these songs that had nothing to do with the comic books, but yeah, that were so personal. And the song Perfect, I think, was the first song that I heard.
Mm.
And it really touched me. And then when I heard Nick's idea for Hergatory, I said, I'm all in on this new show if you guys want to stop working on Comic-Con and start working on this. Because like you were saying, the timing
right. Is
perfect. Mm-hmm. And everybody who seems to hear about this show wants to hear more. And I literally just say to people, they're like, what are you working on? And I'm like, Glass Ceilings. It's a show, a new musical about women throughout history whose stories you don't know, but you should. And everybody goes, yep, I'm in.
So just to make sure, because I don't think that we called it out clearly, Nicholas Brand wrote the book for this show, also wrote the book for Comic-Con, is also Jessica's husband.
That's right. That's how I'm involved.
And what's been so fun for me as someone coming in as an actress to an already established kind of creative family is that they already speak their own language.
Sure.
And it's really lovely and copacetic and kind of funny sometimes too to watch you guys, but it's really fun.
How big is the cast?
13 women.
13.
No, 13, sorry. 11 women and 2 men.
There you go.
Yes.
Right now.
Okay.
We'll see what happens after this. But for this particular show at Rockwell, it's 11 women and 2 men.
And so there's 11 different women in Hergatory, like different prominent women of note. Oh, okay.
8. There's 8 historical women.
Okay.
1 goddess. Who created the world in one day, not 7 days. Like,
which is fun. Yeah.
And then there's the senator, who may or may not be based on an actual senator. You'll have to see the show to find out.
Sure.
And then 2 fictional Earth characters, and a 1 male who plays like all of the bad males throughout history.
And so this is going to be at the Rockwell.
Correct.
Yeah. So it's the stage is a decent size, so it's limited stage. Like how
we're doing it all around though.
That's, oh,
the,
it's the immersive.
The show is going to happen all around. Like, it's like a cabaret, and it's going to be just, yeah, it'll be right next to you. Someone will be singing. It'll
What's
be
fun
amazing.
About the Rockwell is that everything that I've done there, the way they build out the stage is can be done in several different ways, however. You know. And they have those little kind of landings that can be lit and used as commentary and having people having their own moments. It's
such
really
a great
fun.
Space.
It really is.
It's such a fun place to see a show. And when we were doing musicales and different cabaret nights there with numerous songs from the show, I was just thinking, I was like, this could be Hergatory. If we were ever to put this up and do just a production of it ourselves, just to show people, because there's only so much that pitching a show could do that if like you really need to see it, you really, and more than just a reading. The reading was great and very helpful, but people really need to see it in action. And
absolutely.
Then we just had the idea that if we were going to do it, let's do it at Rockwell. It's such a great space, such a fun night out. If you've never been, you can have food and drinks, and it's fun.
I love that.
And going back to what you were saying about you really just have to see it, so we've been, because like my character Jessica is one of the earth people, and we've been rehearsing separately up until this point. So the Hergatorians have been rehearsing and the earthlings have been rehearsing, and today was our first day coming together. And as I was watching, I was like, oh, I see. I get it. Like, you know, I mean, it really is one of those things where you're like,
the songs, but
it's different. No, it's totally different. And so
it's the type of
you
show
put the
you
pieces
kind of
together.
Need to see like that. We've compared it to a little bit like Assassins, maybe a little bit like Come From Away, where it's, you know, a bunch of different people's stories, more of an ensemble cast than anything else. But then the whole show comes together.
Right. Right. I just can't help but think how amazing it is for you to have this ability I feel like it's like therapy that you were able to write these songs and get it out of you and find a vehicle or an outlet to get these feelings. Because I just have them. My outlet is just watching MSNBC constantly.
Crocodile tears at MSNBC.
Oh, actually, I also started a fake Twitter account like without my name attached.
Yes. I've wanted to actually do that. But
oh, my God. You should.
Yeah.
Tangent. I know I want to hear all about this. But have you guys ever seen Roy Moore's horse? Twitter.
No.
It is brilliant. I'm just going to leave it at that. Everybody go to Roy Moore's Horses Twitter account.
Yeah.
Okay. He's living his best life. Anyhow.
Good for
back
that horse.
To you, Laura.
I was just going to say that the song that most happened that way for me was the song Perfect that Jess mentioned, because I was getting into ridiculous Facebook battles with people, and it was just kind of, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. So it was, you know, Hillary Clinton was, you know, unpleasant voice or
shrill
unpleasant.
Was the term.
Shrill, her laugh, you know, what she wears. And I was just like, oh my God, she's not your prom date, you know, chill out, you know. And it was just so much standards and double standards. And I'm just seeing it today too. So it's, you know, I was almost thinking to myself, I hope this song is still relevant. And after,
after
the debates,
so
I'm
relevant.
Just like, oh my God, it's still totally, you know, I feel like nothing has changed. The same stuff, the same
politics.
Story.
Yeah.
You know, the standards just in general that women are held to, that sometimes men aren't held to, I think that song is about. And I think so many people will relate to it. And you've clearly written so many of these songs from the heart and from anger.
Yeah. From an angry heart.
Well, you can even watch it in rehearsal as an actress. And watching the other actors do their work and even being touched by the words that Nick wrote, it's so easy to connect. There's no work involved in that.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
So from a creative standpoint, if somebody has a labor of love that they want to take to the stage, like what are some tips that you have because I feel like it's the Wild West. It's like you just got to figure it out. But it's just like, if you could leave a sign in the road to help someone who's following, coming up behind you, like what advice would you give them?
You know, I sort of always think of the movie Rebel Without a Cause, where that one guy gets in the car and he's just like, well, you got to do something, right? You know, so I always feel like that, you know, you wrote it, you just have to keep pushing it forward and you have to do something. And if that something is taking a risk, then you do it.
Yeah, it can't happen in a vacuum. If you just stay home in your four walls, nothing. You got to get out there and educate people about it.
for me, I mean, I knew that these two together, Nick and Laura together, are just a genius couple, a genius writing team. And I'm a couple with Nick. Laura's married, Nick and I are married.
Got it.
But they're a genius writing team together, and just being part of the creative team, and then literally for almost a year, just telling people about this show and then submitting to things and asking for people to ask us to perform somewhere. And it was a friend of mine who looked me in the eye, who's a documentary producer, and she said, why aren't you just putting this up somewhere so that people can see it? And it was like, boom, something clicked. And while that is a lot much easier said than done,
right.
There are resources out there. And here in Los Angeles, this is what your podcast is about.
Exactly.
I mean, things are happening, and there are people here in theaters people that are looking for new musicals, and we're kind of baptism by fire, learning about it. But when we have this property and everybody seems to connect with it, I'm just hoping that by putting it out there, if someone asked me advice, I would say, ask a lot of questions.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, don't be afraid to reach out to people and say, should I do this? Is this theater okay? What is this producer like? Can I, you know, there doesn't seem to be one set path for getting a musical made or getting it produced. Mm-hmm. But when you're doing it on your own, you do have a little bit more control. And so at least this one time at Rockwell, we're going to do it the way that we see it. And if someone takes it after that their own thing with it, great. But
I was just curious. We've talked about it a little bit, but not a ton. What is the ultimate goal for Glass Ceilings for you?
I mean,
the Barbie Dream trajectory.
Barbie Dream House is Broadway.
Okay.
I think that we could be a show like Come From Away.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I think it works. But what's great about this show is it works in almost any venue,
right.
Which is really wonderful. You could put it on a proscenium. You could put it in the round.
Yeah.
It would be good for schools.
It is.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's actually an appropriate show for you to bring your daughters to, for mm-hmm. sure. You know, it's got an edge to it, but it's not something that you can't ring.
Yeah, there's not any bad language or sex
really,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? It's, you know, it's,
I don't know much about it, but I feel like, yes, bring your daughters, but more importantly, bring your sons.
Oh my gosh. Yes, bring your sons.
I'm bringing my son.
Okay.
Bring your husbands. Bring your husband.
Let's talk dates and how people listening can get tickets and join in and social media and all that stuff. Where can we find you all?
Thank you for asking.
Absolutely.
Our website is glassceilingsmusical.com. On Instagram, we are at glassceilingsmusical. And on Twitter, we are at Purgatory. Our dates at the Rockwell, if you're in LA, March 5th is when we open. And then we are every Friday and Saturday in March, which happens to be Women's History Month.
Yeah.
Not a coincidence. Not a coincidence. So find out that. You can get tickets through glassceilingsmusical.com or go straight to Rockwell's website. And it's Rockwell Table and Stage. I think it's rockwell-la.com. But just go to glassceilingsmusical.com. You can see some videos and listen to some music and get the ticket link from there.
That was really well done. Thank you.
She's good like that.
I'm learning about producing.
I mean, yeah, you got to make sure people know. And that was very succinct. And I appreciate that very much. And Wendy, I'm so excited. I have to go and support you and you all. And I can't wait to see Aaron.
Oh, you won't be sorry. There's so much tremendous talent in this. This is super yummy.
This is so thrilling and so exciting. And thank you all for, I know you've had a long day of rehearsal today. You
Thanks
have another
for taking
one
the
tomorrow.
Time
thank you
after
for taking
rehearsal,
time
you guys. Oh, appreciate
a pleasure.
It.
Those of you listening, I'm Will Armstrong PR on Instagram and all the other social media channels. Wendy is Wendy_Rosoff.
Yes.
And we are also on Facebook if you just search Will and Wendy, all one word. And we have an Instagram. Will,
a brand new one.
It's West of Broadway Podcast on Instagram. So, so you can keep up with us. And we've got some really great, amazing things to announce in the very near future, so we can't wait to share that with you all. And so thank you all for listening. If you're in town, please check out Glass Ceilings, and you can find past episodes of West of Broadway on BroadwayPodcastNetwork.com.
We love you.
And BroadwayWorld.com. So
we love you.
Until next time, this is Will Armstrong.
I'm Wendy Rosa.
And if you're looking for us, you can find us just west of Broadway. We'll be right back.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.